Good morning, His Tabernacle family. How are we doing this morning? Are we here? Are we alive? Yes. Awesome. Well, we just want to greet you today. We want to say welcome. If you are new here or you're looking to get more connected, we have a connect room, my left, your right, over here after service, and our staff and some of our church family is in there. So if you're wanting to get more connected with them, definitely go in there after service. We also have a leadership class starting June 15th. It'll be at 7 p.m., and this is an 8-week class that will help you become a better leader in your home, your ministry, your workplace, things like that, and so like literally every area of your life. So, but also completion of Rock Solid Faith, it is a requirement to be in that class. So make sure you go through Rock Solid Faith first. Then we have baptisms next Sunday. Woo! Super exciting. Yeah, so June 13th during the 9 and 11 a.m. services. So take that next step and go out in the foyer this after the service and sign up. And, yeah, it's going to be great. Also, we have Awakened Young Adults next Sunday. And we have our new pastors, Pastor Tim and Pastor Noel, leading that out. It's going to be so awesome. We are so excited. So if you're in between 18 and 30 years old, don't miss out. We're going to have fellowship, worship, word, and I think we're having s'mores. So that sounds good to me. And then last but not least, I want to tell you a little bit about our local Pregnancy Resource Center. I actually am the offsite services coordinator there, and we are growing a lot. We actually just got a new Life Center building, and we're super excited. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about that because we have baby bottle drives, and sometimes maybe some of you are invited to their fundraisers. So I want you to know what that's about. So we have a main office, and at our main office we do pregnancy tests, on-site limited ultrasounds to confirm pregnancy options education, and compassionate care. Then at our Life Center, we have parenting education for moms and dads, healthy pregnancy education, goal setting and life skills, material assistance, sexual abuse support, and emotional support. And then what I do is I do a little bit of that off-site. So I get to take pregnancy tests off-site to either our high schools or different things like that. We also, I also do workshops outside. So our director's heart is that we can catch people before they get pregnant and they know who they are. These young kids that, you know, they don't know who they are. So we are doing that. So I host workshops with these students and with these young adults. And so we had just started that program. So I'm super excited to get that off the ground. But I just wanted to let you know about that. Just in case you have any more questions, you can ask me after service. I'll be in the foyer hanging out. And otherwise, would you just stand and welcome our senior pastors?
Praise the Lord, it's good to be home. Yes. I haven't preached here in 1 month. I know, isn't that crazy? Goes by quickly. Not that I haven't preached, I preached a lot, just haven't preached here. It's good to be home, it's good to be back in the house of God, and boy, do I got a word from God for you today. You don't want to miss it, it's a hot one. We call it salty. Turn to someone and say, you might need a little salt today. It's a salty one. We're getting ready to ramp up and see more souls saved than ever before in the history of this house, but we believe in God for the history of the church. Amen?
Amen.
My dear bride, how art thou this day?
Wonderful.
Very good. Can you please pray over the body of Christ?
Amen. Father, we just love you so much. You are awesome.
Yes, you are.
You are perfect. There is no one like you, Jesus. It is our great joy to come
yes.
and worship you and lift you up. God, we love your presence so much.
Hallelujah.
We don't want to go anywhere without your presence.
Hallelujah.
So we're so thankful for your house. We are here today
Hallelujah.
To exalt you and lift you up
yes.
and praise your name.
Yes.
God, we just know that in your presence
Hallelujah.
things change forward
Jesus.
In your presence. So change us forward today as we're in your presence,
yes,
in your house,
yes,
in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, tonight also.
Tonight, oh, my goodness.
Did they announce it? They might have already announced it, but I'll say it again. Bishop Rick Thomas will be in the house tonight. Please, please. please make it a point to attend tonight at 6 p.m. This is your pastors asking you to come and honor our bishop. We love the impartation that flows down. This house is so blessed because of our covering and the impartation that comes from him. So please come out tonight at 6 p.m.
You might not do Sunday night church services. We are asking you if you'll do it for us this week out of honor for our bishop. Amen? So we'd love to have you in the house this evening. You won't walk away going, oh my goodness, that was a waste of time. You're going to go, oh my goodness. Because the word will be rich, powerful, and he told me he's going to be laying hands on folk tonight. Amen?
Awesome. And I just want to testify about last night. So he came, he's in Ithaca last night, sharing vision with that church, and Ithaca is very similar to his start, so it brought back so many memories. When Ithaca first started, he gave the first donation towards those $5,000 towards the renovations in there, and last night he stood up and he said he's gonna give $10,000 to this next level of renovation. So he doesn't just come to take, he comes to bless this house. So we're just so grateful for Oversight that believes in what we're doing and puts their money where their mouth is.
Amen. Are you ready to worship? Listen, I'm going to preach really long today, so strap in.
Good morning. If you could just come on down, we'd love to be able to worship and praise with you. Come on, you guys can clap your hands on the way. Isn't it amazing to be in the house of God this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on and sing this if you know it. Say, we love to.
We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain.
Yeah.
When we proclaim your great name.
Come on and sing that again. Say,
we love to.
Come on. Yeah. Sing this out. Say, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Power in your name. Say, there is power in that name.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
So much power in the name. Come on, voices. I need to hear you say, there is power. Shout it out, say there is power. There's so much power in the name. Come on, changes when I call, when I call your name.
A shout of praise if that name has changed everything. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
See it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Its leaf does not wither. If you're planted by a river in the middle of the desert, you'll feel the heat, you'll feel the dry air. But if you're planted by the river, you will not wither away. Whatever storms you're feeling, whatever heat you're feeling, whatever life throws at you, it doesn't matter what you're feeling, because when you're planted by the Waymaker, you will produce fruit no matter what. Even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. So praise your Waymaker this morning. Champion, you never stop, you never stop working, you never stop working, my burden bearer, my Savior Jesus, you never stop working,
you never stop working,
my doctor.
You never stop working.
The author and finisher.
light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, it's just who you are. Couldn't ask for more, so I'm coming back to your presence. Oh, I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate.
Yeah.
gone through a lot of discouragement in life. You've had a lot of disappointments. People have disappointed you, and more than anything, you've disappointed yourself. But God is saying, that day you confess me as your Lord, that day things changed. And I want you to know, as your Father, says God, that I love you, that I believe in you, and that I've got great purpose for you. And that even though all the discouragements of the past and the disappointments of the past are there, God says, I won't disappoint you. You keep your eyes on me. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to direct you. And I'm going to use your life. And your latter shall be greater than the former. Amen. I love you, brother.
I love you. Love you, Pastor.
Father, I thank you for John. He has served you so many years. God, he's been a faithful servant of your kingdom. And today, in Jesus' name, we just stir up the gift of God. Jesus, we thank you that his health will rise to a new level in you. God, he loves you. God, he's given his life for you. And I thank you that in Jesus' name, you're going to use him even in these last days, even more. Father, he's so full of love. He's so full of wisdom. God, I thank you that those near him will be able to draw that from him that you have deposited. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Having back problems on your left side. It's if you take your scapula and you go straight across, it's in that part of your back. I just want you to start feeling for it. I know you already feel it. In Jesus' name, I command healing right now into that portion of the back. I speak to the muscles. I speak to the discs. I come against spurs in Jesus' name. And I command healing into that part of the body for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Someone's right calf is having constant spasms, and God wants you to know he's going to heal you. He heard your cry. It was such a painful thing the other day, and God is healing that right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that today we need you. There's no question we need you. And Father, many of the wounds that we have are not even physical, but they're emotional, and today, Jesus, we ask that you will come and heal the brokenhearted in your name. Jesus, where a doctor's scalpel cannot cut and medication cannot cover, I ask in Jesus' name that you'll bring healing and health and wholeness to the soul of people in the house. Father, what should take many years to heal will be meditated very quickly, Father, and that you'll get glory as wholeness comes to our minds, our hearts, our emotions. Jesus, you are so faithful to us. Lord, I just feel led of the Lord to pray for all the wives that have backslidden or not saved husbands in the house. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move on their husbands today. Lord, the anointing is tangible and transferable. And I pray that today, as they get near their husbands, that the anointing that they received during the service will jump on them, God, bring conviction and start transitioning and changing their men. Lord, I know in these last days you're going to raise up a whole group of men's men. They're going to reach into this world and bring many to Christ. Father, I thank you're going to bring in these ladies' husbands and, Father, these men's wives for your glory. And we just want to say, Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your presence. And, Lord, we have no problem saying it all. We need you, Lord. We need you. And not only that, we want you. Thank you that you're an ever-present help in times of trouble. But greater than that, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Isn't God good this morning? I love you. You may be seated today. Pastor Ron is going to come, and who's doing the offering? Today we're going to be receiving communion, I believe. Is that correct? Are the communion cups ready? Then I just need to ask, yes, they are ready? No, it's not. Okay, so we are going to have communion next week. Amen. Welcome, Corinne.
Hi, guys. How are you? All right. So we're doing tithe. I know a lot of you might hear tithe and just want to shut your ears off and not listen, but just hear me out real quick. We're going to read out of Malachi 3, 8 through 12. It says, should people cheat God, yet you have cheated me? But you ask, what do you mean? When do we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food for in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for the land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heavens. So looking at that verse, I was just reading it all and going deep into it. And just tithing isn't really about the money. Tithing is about showing God that you will be faithful to his word. Faithful with his money. Faithful when it doesn't feel like or look like it's the smartest thing to do. It's a privilege, and it allows us to stretch our faith, and it helps us learn greater discipline and responsibility. So it's not about the money. Everyone says, oh, churches just want the money. It's not about the money. It's about you and God and being faithful and learning discipline and responsibility. So even if it doesn't look like it, like there's been times where I'm like, you know, this 10% could really help some of my bills right now. Even if it looks like that, I promise you, from my life, I could sit here and tell you all the testimonies with tithing, and we'd be here all day. But just stepping out in faith and knowing God is going to show up for you when you do that, even if it could pay for the bill, knowing that when you tithe, when you give that money, God's going to take care of the bill and everything else. So my whole life, I've always tithed. I've always seeded everything. In the last, like, since, like, the baby was born until, like, a month or two ago, we've had a couple attacks against our money. With the baby, I figured, you know, I don't know, I guess I just knew other people who it was all covered, so I didn't know that we were going to have to pay a ton of money for the birth and all that. So we got bills, and they were crazy hospital bills. Then we also were covered in his insurance through his work, and they messed up our insurance. So then we had to do a back pay of that insurance every single month for, I think it was 3 months it's been. Also, they raised our money to add him on it, which I didn't know that you can get free insurance for kids under a year. So anyways, so we were paying like so much money and getting like nothing in his paychecks, which paying bills can be kind of scary when not a lot is coming in. But we tithed. And we've been seeding for a year and a half for a new job for him, for everything. And every single week, every single month, God's provided every single thing for us. Then, so I told you we've been seeding. Okay, so I love you. So we've been seeding, and Antonio doesn't really like his job. He's like a get up, do things kind of person. He's been doing a sit at home in a room desk job all day long, talking to people on the phone. It's just not what he likes to do. So we've been seeding for that, and he got a job full time in a gym, which is like not really heard of. And on top of that, he just started his own business too. All of this is gonna be like triple what he made before. So, and not even about the money, he's gonna have like time for his family and get to do things. So even when it doesn't look like it, he was working that job for 2.5 years. Even when it doesn't look like it, don't give up. Keep tithing, keep seeding. The blessing is gonna come. You just gotta be faithful. Okay. So, all right. So I just wanna challenge you today. Don't sit here and think we're just talking about money, but just, it's not about money. Just put your faith to work. Try it. At least try it for a month. God says test him in this. So try it and see what he'll do for you. If he's going to do it for me, he's going to do it for you. So try it. All right. Now we can stand up. All right. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you that we get to come in your house and we get to give tithes. And we thank you that you will provide for us. We trust you, we believe in you, and we thank you that you're gonna show up and show out for us, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay. Oh, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are gonna chase me down. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain. That happens when we proclaim your great name. Your great name.
Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm a little taken aback. I'm really a little off kilter this morning as Josh Fuchsman's in his first service. and not in second. I'm really not sure what to do with myself. Thank you for coming to both services, Josh. We're very excited that you're coming to 9 and 11 today. Amen. I'm going to preach down here this morning simply because I'm going to do more teaching, and it's going to be 3 or 4 hours. And so, do you know what it is? People hate when someone says, just take your time, Pastor, because you know you got something planned. I'm not going to preach too long. I'm sorry, I lied. I'm sorry, but I want to reveal something this morning. I really believe, as I've been in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit about where we are as the body of Christ, there is a need to make sure that there is an understanding. You see, a lot of folks, we live a life and we're kind of blended into our own little atmospheres and our own little environments, and it's very easy to miss where God's kingdom is at this period of time and where God's kingdom is going. The problem with that is those who don't understand where God's kingdom is going and what the attacks are and the motivation of the enemy in our lives, then many times we are, as the Bible says, ignorant of the devil's devices. Therefore, it's easy to get tripped up. It's easy to get confused. It's easy to get bewildered. It's easy to literally walk away from what God's plan is for your life. So today I want to talk to you about where God is taking the body of Christ. And I'm talking more than just here. I'm talking nationally. I'm talking internationally. God has a plan, and there's a necessity to be aware of the plan of God. That way, individually and corporately, we can move together. The Bible has always shown whenever a group of people move together in one heart, in one mind, there is nothing that they cannot do. Even with the Tower of Babel, which was not God's plan, God came down and said, I've got to mix up the languages, because whenever man gets together with one heart, with one mind, there's nothing that they cannot accomplish. When they were together in the book of Acts, 120 people, Acts chapter 2 in the upper room, they were with one heart, with one mind, and the Holy Ghost was poured out that day, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was released to the church, the launching of the church, the ecclesia at that moment. So there's a need to know where we're at, because then we can move together. How many of you recognize that you aren't an island to yourself? Well, that's not true. Many people actually believe that they are. We might not say it, but we live it. We live to ourselves. We live by ourselves. And I'm going to show you through the Word of God one of the plots and plans of Lucifer in these last days to dismember, disengage, disembowel the body of Christ to where we no longer have power and authority, but we become a religious institution. And I declare over this house and over the houses that we are responsible with that that is not going to happen, that we are going to constantly change forward and be aware of what God is doing at this time in season. Our verse for the year is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, and it says this, behold, come on now, turn to someone and say, listen carefully. Slap the person a little bit, don't get mean, and say, come on now, pay attention. Pay attention. This is what the Bible says. I'm about to do a new thing. Now, what's interesting is there is nothing new under the sun, but yet there are seasons and times that God launches something fresh and new. We just got a prophetic word from Brother Ted Shuttlesworth last night, and it was that God actually has told the pastors that he works with to literally take extra time this summer and to refresh and renew, because what he's going to do in this fall is going to take a lot of energy, and it's going to see a lot of results. And I'm believing God that in these last days, we are going to see the greatest outpouring of God's Holy Spirit that we have ever seen before. I thank God that in these last days, we're going to see the greatest harvest of souls that we've ever seen before. But it's only going to be for those who will listen carefully. God's going to do a new thing, but many are going to miss the new thing. I've told the statistics many times in the house. At least 9,000 churches close in America a year. And the projection for after COVID is near 90,000 churches are going to close in America. And I want you to realize something. That means people have not been listening carefully. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But the gates of hell prevails against churches because they don't listen carefully and pay attention to the time and the seasons and move with the mind of God. Remember, God is always on the move, that God is always moving forward. He is not staying back. He is not in neutral, but that God is moving forward. So therefore, 2021, we are changing forward because we're staying in the mind, in the river, in the plan, in the purposes, and in the design of God. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. The Bible said that means it's going to happen quickly. Now I want you to realize that even as Brother Ted prophesied that, the beginning of 2020, he also spoke very clearly to the church. He said, whatever can be shaken will be shaken in the church. And in the year of the COVID, we saw more people who we thought were spiritually solid get shaken to where literally they no longer, I thought they walked by faith, but they actually live more by sight than by faith. It was a shaking period of our faith. It was a shaking period of where we stood and where we walked and who we knew or how much we knew of Him. You see, when you know God, you are close to God. When you're close to God, you walk by faith and not by sight. And so what's happened is there's a shaking that's gone on. Now that the shaking is over, now that it's starting to settle down a little bit, now that the governor got caught with a, never mind, and more stuff has been released, you know, now we're in a position where it's time for the church to arise. It's time for us to understand where the body of Christ is. And we've got to get ready to move. Turn to someone and say, get ready to move. Tell somebody else, don't be a slug. Now remember, you can't say slug. Yes, you got to draw that out because slugs are drawn. You know, you ever gone out into the parking lot or you've gone out in your driveway and there's this big, long slime trail and at the end of it is a slug. Come on, turn to somebody and say, don't be a slug. I'm going to do a new thing. Will you not be aware of it? That means some people are not going to pay attention. There are some people in this room, no matter how many times I preach it, no matter how many times I push you, and I am a pusher. No matter how many times we push the body of Christ, you're going to sit back with your finger in your ear and your nose in your and your finger in your nose, and you're going to be sitting back and just doing nothing. And I'm telling you now that in these last days, that's not going to cut it. That many will lose their faith in the last days because the sin will abound and the love of many will wax cold. When you are doing the will of God, when you are moving in the will of God, then you are in the perfect position to make sure that you are going to remain solid in the anointing, solid in your salvation, solid in your walk. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I love this. He says, will you be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And in that, it's important to know, that means miracles. We're going to see more miracles. I thank God for the miracles we've been seeing the last 4 or 5 months. We've seen some phenomenal miracles already in the body of Christ. And I'm believing God that it's going to be so many that it's almost going to become normal, because it should be. Turn to somebody and say, miracles should be normal. If we can see the signs in the time, you got to know the enemy of our soul can also see the signs in the time. Now, we're not demon hunters in this church. We're not looking under every chair to find a devil. We're not blaming everything on the devil. But I want to remind you that everything is spiritual first. We fight not against flesh and blood. And in that, if the body of Christ is not awake and paying attention, then it will easily be sucked into the wrong world. I want to remind you, when you got born again, you went from darkness into light. When you got born again, you became the citizen of the kingdom of God. And that you and I have a king who has a kingdom, who has a constitution, the word of God. I walk by the word and not by the world. I said, I walk by the word and not by the world. I said, I walk by the word and not by the world. So many believers have both feet in, have the feet in both worlds and want God's blessing, but don't want to let go of the world. There's a time, and this is the time and the season, that the body of Christ must pay attention. We must pay attention because the devil has gone spastic. He is going crazy because he can sense the atmosphere. He can and knows the word of God and sees where we are prophetically, and he's getting nervous. He's getting nervous because he knows his time is short. The church has to open the eyes and recognize the time is short, and we have got to be ready to do the will of God in these last days. God has honored you. Hear me now. I said, God has honored you to be born in such a time as this. The greatest time in the history of the church. The greatest time for God, because he's coming soon. Can I hear an amen? And the church must be ready. The devil knows the Bible. He's very strategic. He has been studying mankind for centuries. And in his strategy, he makes sure that he doesn't run around with a little red suit and a pitchfork. But in his wisdom, his goal is to draw you out of the kingdom of God and into the kingdom of this world. Now, what does that mean? We know that God, as the king, has the word of God. That is how the kingdom runs. If you want to know how God's kingdom runs, that's why we open the scripture. But the world, we have lived in it for so many years, it is so normal for us to be more attentive to the world's system and the world's kingdom than God's kingdom. Or when the world system starts to do strange things, we lose our faith in the kingdom of God and put our faith in what we can see, touch, smell, taste, and alter on this planet. We've got to know that we are not of this world. Turn to someone and say, you are not of this world. You've got to know that. You've got to believe that. You've got to understand that, or else you're going to get sucked into the processes of the kingdom of this world. And I want you to know something. The devil is no dummy. Say amen or oh my. He knows his time is short. I want you to turn with me to the book of John. Excuse me. I want you to turn with me to the book of, and that's actually Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says this. You are, turn to someone and say, I am. Now remember, whenever God said, I am, he was declaring his nature. He was declaring who he was. Today I want you to recognize that God is telling you who you are. It doesn't matter what anybody else says you are. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks you are. It matters who God says you are. I am a child of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I said, I am a child of God. Can I hear an amen? John chapter 1 says, he's given you the power to be called sons and daughters of God. I am anointed of the Holy Spirit. Shout, I am anointed. 1 John chapter 2, he says, and you have this anointing that abides within you. I want you to recognize, shout, I am more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8, I am made more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You're not a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror. Whenever God says, I am to us, he is establishing within us our very nature and our being, because when you got saved, you changed natures, according to Peter. Now you have the divine nature, the nature of God, because God lives inside of you. Well, come on now, I'm enjoying myself already. I feel a long sermon coming on. So what happens in the body of Christ is that when we are not paying attention, when something happens in the world or a circumstance happens in our life, it is so much easier, because we are physical, even though our physical body is the least portion of actually who we are. Thank you. I wanted to make sure I know where I was. Even though our physical body is the least of the person who I know we are, when we know that, we can pay attention that when the circumstances or when the devil starts spazzing out on us, we do not need to be shaken, for I walk by faith and not by sight. I said, I walk by faith and not by sight. I speak the word over anything else that comes against me. Say amen. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all of these to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Today, I want to talk about your purpose, because that's what the devil is actually after. There are a lot of believers who walk around with no purpose. I want you to know something. If your purpose is getting up and going to work this morning, getting up and making a few bucks, going up and getting cereal, Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, I want you to know you're not a person of purpose. When you're a person of purpose and the purpose is only the things that are natural, then you will always be an individual that will vacillate in your relationship with God, because you will never have a standard that takes you beyond the circumstances that are placed before you. The purpose that we have has been God-breathed. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made, no matter how tall, how short, nor wide, nor thin, no big feet, no small feet. Where is Isaiah? Isaiah, I can fit both feet in Isaiah's shoes. What matters is the purpose that God has for you. Do you know even the definition of purpose is so powerful? The definition means this: the reason for which someone and something is done and or created or exists. You have been given a divine purpose, and that is your whole reason for existing. There are a lot of people who are not living according to the design of God, are not living according to the purpose of God. They are just in survival mode, and anytime you see somebody in survival mode in the Bible, there's always a catastrophe that comes. We must understand that individually and corporately. If you're still breathing... I said, if you're still breathing, I guess not everybody is. I said, if you're still breathing, pinch the person next to you, make sure they're breathing. Amen. If you're still breathing, I said, if you're still breathing, I said, if you're still breathing, then God's not done with you yet. Say amen. We are called to be the light. We are called to share the good news. We are called to share Jesus. Now, the devil knows our main purpose. He knows our main design. He knows why we were created. Listen now, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times. If you were created just to go to heaven, the day you got saved, you die. How many of you know you're not dead yet? Some of you might feel dead because you're not living in purpose. You see, when you don't live in purpose, then what happens is you literally just get up to work. You just get up to make a few dollars. Listen now, I watch people that's so funny when they're looking for purpose. They'll buy more guns. They'll buy more clothes. They'll buy more shoes. They'll buy this. They'll buy that. They'll go here. They'll go there. And the one thing they always find is they are there too. And the clothes still are wrapped around you, because a person without purpose has no reason actually to get up in the morning. Satan wants to steal your purpose. He wants to steal a church's purpose. The reason 90,000 churches will close because of the COVID is not because of COVID. It's because the church lost their purpose. The churches that have people, listen now, and I'm not against age, say amen or oh my, but if the whole church is 75 and above, they lost purpose. If the church isn't seeing somebody saved every week, they've lost purpose. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If we as individuals aren't leading at least one person to Jesus a year, we've lost purpose. Oh, let me say that again. If we as individuals are not leading someone to Jesus once a year, well, I don't know, that's really hard. Really, it's really not that hard. One day, we decided to go soul winning, and I ended up going over to where the new McDonald's is and the gas station is right over there. What is that? I don't even know what that is called. Over by Is it, what is it? That place. And I walked over and I looked at the lady behind the counter. I said, hey, how are you? She said, good, thank you. And I bought something because you don't want to be a, you know, you don't want to be a jerk. You buy something. And then I said, hey, you know, how are you with God? And she looked at me like I had six heads. But then she answered me. She said, I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore. And I said, you know that God wants you to know him, right? She goes, yeah, I give my heart to Jesus as a child. And I grew up in Sunday school, but, you know, I partied and I just kind of got away from it all. And it's not that I don't love God, but I got away from it. And right there in less than 10 minutes, I led that girl back to Jesus. Not because I'm the most holy Reverend Dr. Father Spencer. But because I am Michael Spencer, and my purpose is the same as your purpose, and that is to make sure that our light shines, make sure that we don't hide it under a bushel, make sure that people know that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the enemy, come on now, everything is first. Everything is spiritual first. You've got to recognize that the enemy, whenever he feels the environment of soul winning or people getting saved, come, he goes spastic. I'll take it back to Jesus. Jesus comes, amen, he's born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit comes upon Mary, virgin birth. He's all God, all man in the same body, but gave up all of his heavenly power to come down here and live as a man, Philippians chapter 2. He started walking on the planet before he could ever walk. We saw the devil start to spaz because he could feel the environment of the Messiah. I want you to know, he doesn't know all things. Amen. The devil cannot know. He is not God. Can I hear an amen? He only knows what people tell him. And that day, the wise men, when Jesus is about 2 years old, went and told Herod, we're looking for the one that was going to be called the King of the Jews. And that bothered Herod. Why did it bother Herod? Because Herod was motivated by the devil. The Herod of that time was one that did not believe in God. He was not a godly man. And because the devil could control the ungodly, you'll always find whenever the environment changes to move more for God, that the ungodly are going to rise and hate the church more. They're going to hate you more. Not even that you've done anything, but simply because the devil can feel it, and he's got to use his people. Herod made a decision. Let's kill all the kids 2 years old and under so we can make sure that this one called the King of the Jews will not live. The devil has not changed his tactics. We are the body of Christ. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are the appointed and the anointed. We are the salt and we are the light. We are the ones that God has called to bring his message, the good news to this world. And the devil is trying and right now starting to get more spastic than ever before. And we could see it. We call it the pandemic. Well, I thought it was just a health issue. Everything is spiritual first. You've got to know that the enemy can feel the end times. He's read the Bible himself. He knows the signs and the times. Just the other day, my son and my nephew were educating me on cryptocurrency. You know, I've heard about it, but I really don't know much about it. And they start talking about this one that is now actually starting to be traded amongst the banks. And New York State has come against it and sued it. And I guess there are five lawyers or two have already signed off saying there's nothing they can do, that's legitimate. And so I started investing in it because they're saying that if that does get through, that will be a currency, cryptocurrency, that will be literally traded through all the banking systems of the entire world. Now, I'm no dummy. I don't believe that's the mark of the beast, because that's not going to come till after the church is gone. But I will tell you, it sure is a sign in the time that we've never seen before. I'm looking at our governments. They're calling right wrong and wrong right. We're seeing abortion now to the nth degree, to the highest level, where even the baby crowning, they can now kill the child. We're seeing now where even homosexuality is now being, literally, it is now overtaken. You're seeing it on all the TV shows. You're seeing it on the children's shows. Oh, listen, I don't hate homosexuals, but it is a sin. Amen. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Don't read the Bible then. You're going to have a problem. It's in the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Amen. I'm not a homophobic. I believe that God can save everybody. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But what's happened is now we're watching as the world is changing. Even this new law they're getting ready to pass would make it so that the church would have to hire, if somebody wanted to be a youth pastor and they were from an alternative lifestyle, that I would have to hire them over somebody that was straight. That's now coming upon the church. We're seeing changes like we've never seen before. And the church is asleep in the light. The church, the God is getting ready to move, and they're not paying attention. We're going to pay attention. Pay attention. Do you ever have your teacher say that to you? Pay attention. Do you ever have your parents say that to you? Did your parents say that to you? How many had your parents say, pay attention? Was that before or after? All the time. All the time. Amen. I want to share with you a plot that the church accepted that has literally taken the light and put it under a bushel. It's sad because the body of Christ doesn't recognize it at large. And what's happened is we've all responded more towards the world's system and the world's kingdom than to God's kingdom. One of these great plots is called isolation. When the pandemic came, they started shutting down churches as non-essentials. Well, I want you to know the Bible says that you are the only hope of the world, that you are the only light of the world, that you are the only salt of the world. You are the preserver. Without the church, hell would already be folding on. You are very essential. But what they did and what they don't recognize, because they're of the world, they're not sitting back scheming with Satan himself, although some of them might be. But they're following their master. And the master, the enemy of our soul, knows this, that if he can isolate the church individually and corporately, then the light cannot be seen. With isolation, we were taught, don't touch people. Don't talk to people. Don't hug people. Don't even get around your family. My father-in-law died at a nursing home. He didn't even see a loved one for over 3 months. That's hell. That's demonic. But the plan was, through the diabolical plot of Lucifer, was to bring the church into a place of isolation where it no longer has the ability to be the salt and the light because we have separated ourselves from those who need us. We've said to the world, I can't touch you. I can't talk to you. I can't be around you. You might be contaminated. But what's happened is we've taken the word of God and we've made the word of no effect. Was it a real virus? Absolutely. Was it dangerous? Absolutely. But we have churches in America that are still not open. We have church folks that won't, they're watching online even today. The only reason they're not coming is because of fear. Every time you see isolation in the scripture, you will always see the disembarking of purpose. God has not called us to be separate. He's called us to be together. God has not called us not to talk to people. He's called us to be the light of the world. God has not called us to not be around and give the message. He's called us to be among them. Now the church has absorbed this mentality. And listen now, I want to remind you, when the children of Israel, God delivered them from Egypt. God opened the Red Sea. He made bitter water sweet. He literally had a rock that followed them around and gave enough water to water over 2.5 million people. They nagged for quail or meat, and God gave them so much it came out their nostrils. They had bread. They had manna at their doorstep every single morning. But yet when the world's problems started to come, they would rather have gone back to Egypt. I want you to see this. God got them out of Egypt, but Egypt didn't get out of them. It took a generation. We don't have time to have a whole generation of people pass by. We don't have time to wait for our kids to get up to start being the light again. It's time for us to shake ourselves. It's time for us to awaken the body of Christ. It's time to let the light so shine that they may see the goodness of our Father. And the only way that's going to happen is to start abolishing the isolation mentality. I'll prove it to you. Bible's pretty good, isn't it? I'll prove it to you with the B-I-B-L-E. You ever heard of a prophet named Elijah? Powerful man of God. I'm talking like he's coming up against and the prophets of Baal are there. And he says, listen now, let's my God be against your God. So let's do it this way. We'll both build an altar. And let the God that's alive send fire from heaven and consume it. Cool, eh? So, you know, the prophets of Baal, they build their little sacrificial thing, and they put their thing on, they start dancing around, they start cutting themselves. Listen now, young people, cutting came from Baal. Cutting themselves, dancing around. I love Elijah. He looked over and said, hey, where's your God? Oh, he must be on the toilet. No, literally, that's what he said. You must be on the toilet. Elijah, he goes over there and he builds an altar and then he puts a sacrifice on and then he says, now I want you to dig a trough around it. And he starts pouring water. The water gets full of water and the trough, you know, everything is like it should not light. And then he goes and calls on God and goes, God goes, and he doesn't only consume the sacrifice, he consumes a rock and then consumes all the water that's in the ditch. Stinking cool, isn't it? I'm talking like God's used me to do really cool miracles, and I sit back and they say that's really cool, but I've never been able to call fire out of heaven. I prayed for it a few times. Thank God he didn't send it. Then, from the governmental leadership, Jezebel, she said, prophet, I'm going to kill you. And instead of him, looking now, he just called fire out of heaven. God just proved the power. But instead of that, he listened more to the government. Come on now. Listen more to the evil one. Can I have an amen? Ahab was an evil king, and his wife was just as bad, if not worse. Can I hear an amen? And all of a sudden, you didn't see the man of God respond by saying, God is on my side. God is going to work for me. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to God. Instead, what do we see him do? The Bible says in 1 Kings 19:3, he was afraid and rose and ran for his life. Do you realize? I watched people during this pandemic, and I watched fear arise. Now, I didn't say you shouldn't be concerned. Say amen. There are people that had different body things that they needed to be a little bit more concerned about, and wisdom is there. But I watched people that should never have been to the place they were literally go and hide themselves out of fear. I want you to know every single time you see that in the scripture, it is never a profitable thing. So here he runs and he hides, and this is what the Bible says in verse 4 and 5. Then he went on alone. Turn to someone and say, isolation is never from God. Shout, isolation will affect you socially, emotionally, mentally, and in your thought processes. I do have an actual quote for you from a medical dictionary on what happens when you isolate yourself. The church went into isolation. The church hid their light. Baby, we had persecution in this house because we did not hide our light. No. We had people like, they'd sit over at the brewery taking pictures through the trees trying to catch us. And then we had somebody actually from inside take photographs and send them to the governor. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. Why? Because the Lord said I'm supposed to obey him more than I obey the government. Can I hear an amen? Now, the Bible says obey the government, but when the government supersedes what the Word of God says, the Word of God comes first. Say amen. I said say amen. I said say amen. But if you run and hide in fear alone, you're going to go into depression. You know, we watch people. That's what's happened, even to children. Children that didn't go to school many times last year, who used to be vibrant and outgoing, are now literally consumed in themselves and depressed and not motivated. We're watching as child suicide rose during that whole year. That drug overdose increased. I forget what the percentage was. Just in Syracuse, I think their raise was like 80-some-odd%. We're watching the death of isolation, yet the church bought it. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen. Church being you singularly and the church corporately. And it's time to make a decision that yes, God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, but they never got Egypt out of them. Listen now. I got to behave because I want to say something that's really bad. No, you hear my daughter-in-law? Do it. Now she says, you won't. Restricting. Yes, dear. Every time our governor got caught, he loosened the restrictions. Just recently, new emails came out. All I'm saying, read them yourself. But all I'm saying is that we all bought it. People bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Fear overtook their lives, and they went into a level of isolation where they didn't even spend time with their families. They did not dare to be around individuals. And it's time to recognize, listen now, isolation has never been the plan of God, and isolation will always, as it did with Elijah. Listen, this is what God said to Elijah. Ready? This is it. Ready? I love this. Ready? This is what God said to Elijah. Verse 9. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here? God, the creator of the universe, looked at him and said, what are you doing here alone? I didn't tell you to be alone. I didn't tell you to go hide. I didn't tell you to take your light and put it under a bushel. I didn't tell you to be afraid. I didn't tell you to cower. We're the church. We're the body of the living God. We are the saints of heaven. Listen now, if we don't believe it, let's go home. You see, we have to deal with that. Because We have to deal with whether we actually believe that God's word is true or it's just a nice little fictitious storybook that we use when we feel bad. If God's word is true, you can't kill somebody with purpose. You can't kill somebody with destiny. If it's not your time, if your time isn't over, or if you have not abandoned your purpose, then God's not going to let you go. We got to make a decision in our lives. Because so many have isolated themselves. They still don't hug people. Well, I'm sorry. Let's talk about the Bible. The Bible says, I got to behave. The Bible says, greet one another with a kiss. Not European style. Kiss. COVID. COVID kiss. Watch out for COVID kiss. Get away from me. Don't touch me. Listen, now, I'm not saying this isn't real. I'm not saying it wasn't real. But I'm saying the church bought isolation. And what we think is we're just surviving. Listen now, God didn't call you to survive. God called you to die. Die to self. God called you to give up your life for the gospel. You want to know, listen now, the children of Israel, they just survived. And then they died in the wilderness without purpose. But the disciples, they died with purpose. And they died even younger. Only one lived to be a ripe old man. And that was John. And he was isolated on the Isle of Patmos without his own choice. But even in his isolation, Jesus appeared to him and he wrote the book of Revelation. We've got to make decisions in our lives. If you buy isolation, then your light has gotten dim. And if you and I are the only hope of the world, and they can't see by seeing us walk by faith and not by sight, then what hope do they have? Religion won't give you hope. The government's not going to give you hope. People are still getting COVID even after getting inoculated. They're not going to give you hope. We're in a position now where we are trusting so much as the church in the things of the worldly kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. And we've got to have a revival of the kingdom of God. We have to have a revival of knowing who God says we are. We need a revival of moving in the power and the demonstration. We need a revival of the purposes and the design of God for our lives. Or else we're just going to meander on the planet and die off like they did in the children of Israel and never enter God's best. How many of you are breathing? Not everybody. All right, we can fix that. If you're breathing, your purpose is not done. He's going to try to disembark you with isolation. He's going to try to disembark you with being offended. Well, I got offended at that church. The pastor offended me. Get used to it and get over it. You are not ever not going to be offended. There comes a place where you've got to make a decision that if a dead... Listen now, I went to a funeral one time. I'm late already. Went to a funeral one time and you had to kiss the dead person at the funeral. I didn't even know the person who was dead. So I ain't kissing the person who was dead. Because even if I kiss the person that was dead, they're dead. They wouldn't open their eyes and go, thank you. If they did, miracle! If you and I are dead to the world, then you can't even be offended. Someone said to me not too long ago, well, I stopped coming for a while because of something you said to me. You're not dead. And your purposes are yours and not God's. I get offended every day. Someone just wrote something on me the other day. That Pastor Spencer, all he wants is your money. For goodness sakes, dumb as a stone. You know what I mean? My salary isn't even determined by a group of people in this church. It's determined by another board from another place by law. I don't even know what my salary is going to be until they tell me what it's going to be. So here I am, they're telling me, and then this little girl pops in. I did Pastor Spencer's taxes. I said, I don't think I've ever heard of that. Went back. That person's never done they lied! People going to lie about you. People going to say bad things about you. Because when your light starts shining, when the light of God starts shining, the devil starts getting spastic. The devil starts getting nervous. And he's got to use the people to come against you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. But I want you to know the Bible declares that it's time in the end times especially. Don't pray for the Lord of the harvest to get people saved. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Why? Because the harvest is already ready. Somebody's waiting for you. They're waiting for you to shine. They're waiting to hear the good news. They're waiting to hear that God is good. They're waiting for you to not be afraid. They're waiting for you not to isolate. They need you. They need you. Bishop and I were driving around yesterday. I want to say I'm almost done, but we are going to collide with the next service. Bishop and I were driving around Elmira, Horseheads, and Big Flats, and I took him up on top of Harris Hill and I showed him the valley. And he said, wow, what God can do here is going to be amazing. Amen. And then we got that text from Brother Ted that said, take some sabbatical this summer, Pastor, because it's going to get so busy in the fall, you're going to want to be rested. Amen. The devil knows. He can feel it. He can feel the atmosphere. God needs your light to shine. God needs you to be bold. God has a purpose for your life, the reason for your very existence. And it's clear. I'm going to read it quickly, and then we'll be done. Matthew 28, 19, and 20. It's called the Great Commission. What's commission mean? What's commission? It's a command. Get going. It isn't a suggestion. Do you know that a lot of people think that what God says in his Bible is a suggestion? Oh, I suggest that you go and tell people. No. I suggest you're the light. No. I suggest that you don't sin. No. These are commands. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, because I've been given authority, remember, therefore always points you to the last sentence. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching the new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I will always be with you even to the end of the age. Mark 16, 15, 17 to 20. Then Jesus told them, go, shall go, shall go, shall not isolate, go. Turn to someone and say, go. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Go into all the world, and your world is a circle of influence that God has placed you in. It's at Wegmans, it's at Wally World, it's at Target. Sportsman's Warehouse. He's called you to be the light of the world. He's called you to share the gospel. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Verse 20, and God worked with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. This is you. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I didn't hear you. Hide it under a bushel.
No,
no, I didn't hear you. I said, hide it under a bushel.
No.
Come on, tell the devil, hide it under a bushel.
No.
I tell you, can yell louder at your kid than that. I said, hide it under a bushel.
No.
Come on, one more time, louder. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
Let every devil in hell know I'm not hiding my light. I'm not going to sit back and isolate. I'm going to get out there and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to cross the barrier. I'm going to let them know that God is good and not bad, because I'm a son and daughter of the Most High God, and He's called me. He's anointed me. He created me, and it has me in existence for this time and this season. That's who you are. Don't you ever let anybody talk you out of it. It's time to bring in the harvest. I said it's time to bring in the harvest. Stop your survival. Stop your isolation. It's time to bring in the harvest. I said it's time to start sharing Jesus at the post office. It's time to start sharing Jesus at Wegmans. It's time to start sharing Jesus, listen now, at the stop sign. Today, if you do not know Jesus, I want you to know that you're walking around with no divine purpose. All you got is money, if you have enough. All you got is an apartment or a house that could burn down tomorrow. All you have is your health. And without God, you don't even have a promise of healing. Today, I want you to know, if you don't know Christ, you're crazy. Don't mean that in a bad way, because you're crazy. Because without Jesus, the Bible says that you are dog food, dog meat. The devil can do whatever he wants to you. He has a right to you because you're his child. But those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Today, you can go from death to life. Today, you can go into a purpose of the very reason you have breath in your lungs. You don't have to get up to go to work. You got to go to work. Say amen. Occupy till I come. But when you go to work, you're going to the mission field. When you go to the supermarket, you're going to the mission field. When you're going, come on now, to the golf course, you're going to mission field. When you're going shopping, ladies, in Syracuse or Rochester, you're the mission field. You got reason, not survival, and not isolation. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want Him in your life, you want to turn your heart over to Him and say, God, I need you. I need you to change me from the inside out. If that's you, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have, and you will be stirred with purpose in life. If that's you this morning, slide your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up this morning. Thank you very much. You can put it right back down. 5. Come on. 4. 3. Get your hand up. 2. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Hope you don't mind. I very much enjoyed preaching. Sometimes you enjoy preaching more than the people's bottoms can. So we just say, bottoms up. Amen. I just know who we are, guys, gals. And it's time to take back what the devil's stolen. It's our region, not the devil's region. It's our region, come on now, not the world's region. God has called us to bring in the harvest. I'm declaring thousands of people in this house. It's been prophesied for decades. Thousands of people. Don't get settled in your chair. We just put an offer on Booth School. You need to pray over that. Maybe you want to give to that. They're asking $575. We didn't even offer close. But I'm believing God to get that school. I'll tell you why. We'll run all of our children's programs out of there. We'll move the Bible school down there. And here we won't have to put $5 million into another building. We'll take the roof off and we'll put in balconies. Thought saving money would make you happy. Amen. But I'm believing God for great things. Pastor Chad is getting ready to start a $300,000 renovation up in Ithaca. Their church, without even being asked, has already raised over $160,000. Without even asking. People coming in with $50,000 checks, $25,000 checks, dropping them down. Some folks are on stipends and they're bringing $25 a month. They're raising all that. Because we're going to have 1,000 people in Ithaca. Just down with Pastor Dan, glory to God. God's doing great things. They're already back to COVID, pre-COVID numbers. Our church up in Canada, New Brunswick, Canada, Pastor Phil, they already now, when we took them over 2.5 years ago, were 25 people. Now that last week was 179. They have a serious problem. There's no more room. No more room. West Virginia. They're 1 year and a few months old. They're almost finishing their very first building, and it's almost already full. Kentucky Church, they doubled in 2 weeks. They put in 2 services and doubled. Boom. Campeche, Mexico, and our churches in Mexico, all of them are almost back to pre-COVID numbers, and they were taken back worse than we were. And now we have that church in Uganda, and it's starting to grow. I want you to know, we even had this morning a pastor reach out and is going to ask to come under, possibly come underneath his Tabernacle Family Church. I've never even met them. But God is moving. Amen. And we are not going to sit on our laurels. Amen. Amen. Amen? We don't sit to get wide. We sit to rest for a few minutes and then run this race to win. Amen? Amen. I've got to stop because I can go forever. If you raise your hand for salvation, this is Mindy. Not Vanna, it's Mindy. If you'd like to receive Jesus, you didn't raise your hand, do not leave. Come up, we want to pray with you. We have a Bible for you. We have a book for you. We want to not just get you started, we want you to finish this thing strong. If you're not right with God and you didn't raise your hand, listen now, don't leave this building. Don't be crazy to leave this building without getting right with Jesus. Man, get right with God. If you're a guest, we want to connect with you on the other side of this wall. Just if you, whoever brought you, if they'll bring you right on over there, we have some little snacks. You get to meet some folk, and we want to make sure that you get connected to the kingdom, because God's got great plans for your life. You are a person of purpose. Amen. Father, I speak blessing over your house. I declare that we are blessed and not cursed. I declare the covenant of God, and I declare that this house, you'll bring revelation of purpose. That we will run this race and win for the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name, bring at least one soul for us to lead to you this week. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Remember, don't leave if you raise your hand or want to get right with God. Mindy's right up front.